Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly 60-minute expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live, for the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Good evening, welcome to The Watchman on this day as we continue with our study of the end times. And just so that you know, not last week, the week before, the station wasn't on and the show wasn't on, but now we proceed with our study. And there are things I want to talk about today concerning a bit of the kind of deception that we expect in these times of the end. And one of the things that creep into the church in a subtle way and destroy people, and actually which the devil uses to create confusion among the children of God, because without using the children of God, the devil's powers are very limited. Actually, if every child of God decided that they were not going to be used whatsoever by the devil, you would see how the church would thrive, because some of them are used and they don't know, and they think they are being used by God, but they don't know, and they think they are doing the work of God. Jesus said in the time, some people, it will get to a time where people even actually kill you, and they think they are doing it for God, and they are convinced they are doing it for God. And how will it get there? By deception. He says the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And then he says that you will get to a point where people even can kill, can murder, and they are convinced that it is for God. And we're not talking about Muslims and what, we're talking about Christians, and some of them believe, where they are convinced that they are doing the work of God. Now, there's just some passage of scripture here which I want us to read before I get into some of the things. And if time permits, we'll talk about something, a different subject altogether apart from this. Anyhow, so I'm reading from the book of Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. And this is what happened. Now, it came to pass when time had come for him, that is for Jesus, to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face up to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered the village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. So now these are his disciples who had gone and preparing for Jesus in a village of the Samaritans. But, verse 53, but they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. That is, the people in the village did not receive Jesus. They rejected him. They didn't receive him. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. Listen to this. He told them, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. That's the key thing. You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. So they did not receive him here. And the disciples were angry. Were angry on behalf of Jesus. And said, let's call down fire from heaven, that it may burn them, because Elijah did it. And then Jesus rebuked them and said, you don't know what manner of spirit you are of. And he said, I did not come to kill anybody. I came to save lives. Then he said, if they have not received us here, let's go to another village. It's just as simple as that. Now, the deception that is going on in the church, and especially in churches and what, that involves people praying some kind of prayers which I actually call witchcraft prayers, prayers of control, trying to control people's destinies, because the people they are trying to control made a decision maybe to leave here and leave that and leave that. Now, there's somebody whom I know who was attending a church, and she was well-liked there, and she was leading music, and she was all those things. Now, and she's somebody who, you know, serves in our ministry. So the people of the ministry where she was felt that she should not have left, and it was not a God's will for her to leave, and all those things. That's what they felt. Now, for her, of course, she felt that it was God's will for her to leave. Okay? So, the people of the church gathered together, believers, and I'm not talking about a false church, I'm talking about a church which is doctrinally sound. They gathered together and started praying prayers that she should come back, she should find no peace where she is. Let her find no peace where she is. Let her, you know, suffer until she's forced to come back. And they are praying prayers like that. Now, what happened is, this person came and told me, I don't know what's happening. I'm depressed. I'm suffering from depression. I'm doing things. My prayer life has died. I find it very difficult. And now this is somebody who used to pray hours and throughout the night, and she had a very deep relationship with God. But suddenly all her prayer life ended, and she was struggling to lift herself up to pray. Then she's struggling with depression. Then she's getting all these fake thoughts from the, and all sorts of things happen. So she came crying to me, SOS, I don't know what is wrong with me. For the first time, I'm even losing enthusiasm for things of God. Now, I'm not talking about somebody who is can easily be drawn into the world. I'm talking about somebody who loves God completely, and also, and who is in total pursuit of God and the will of God for her life and things like that. But suddenly, everything had gone haywire in her life. So I recognized where it came from, that the people of her former church were praying those kind of prayers. And so we had to pray and cancel every such thing, and you know, we canceled their prayers. Now you see where this ends. So then when we canceled their prayers, then suddenly she came back to herself, her prayer life returned and everything, and then she started having a relationship with God. Now here is the key. Here is something that I want you children of God to understand, whoever is listening to this program. When you go and pray such a prayer, it has an impact. Every time the children of God get together and speak something in unison, even if they are two or three, and they speak, now in that case there were many, and they speak anything in unison, it has tremendous power. But that power is not necessarily of the Holy Spirit. I'll give you an example. I'll tell you now, if you pray that somebody suffers, let him suffer, let him kusirana, the Holy Spirit is not going to respond to those prayers. The Holy Spirit cannot answer prayers that are not within his character. Okay? He cannot do things that are outside of his character. I hope you understand what I'm saying. For instance, if somebody came and told me, let's go and murder the other person because of this, because of that, I'll tell them I'm not going because it's not in my character to murder. Now, you cannot make the Holy Spirit go and make somebody suffer, kusirana. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of love, is a spirit of peace, is a spirit of prosperity. Now, your prayers are not going to be responded to by the Spirit of God. But that doesn't mean they will not be responded to. What happens is when people like that speak those words over somebody, they empower demonic spirits to go and torment that person. Now, that's why you're praying for somebody to come back, but the person is losing all their prayer life. Why? Because now your words are empowering demonic spirits to go and cause suffering in that person's life. The Holy Spirit cannot answer that. You can't make the Holy Spirit answer prayers of go and make the other person kusirana. The Holy Spirit does not make anybody kusirana. He lifts people up. Now, if you want your prayers to be answered by the Holy Spirit, you say, God bless that person, lift them up, show them your direction, let your will be done in their lives. If you're not sure what their will is, let your will be done in their lives, show them what, and you know, prayers of love that spring out of a heart of love and a heart of seeing the best things. Now, the Holy Spirit is a father, okay? Like God is a father. Now, there is no way he wants... Now, if your son disobeys what you told him to do, let's say you told him to go and do medicine at university and he decided to do something else. As a parent, are you going to want him to suffer? I want him to suffer and suffer and suffer because he refused what I told. That's not how God works. Even if a parent would do that, and very few parents would do that, there's no way God can do that. Even if they left the church by the will of God, I mean rather, out of the will of God, even if it is not the will of God for them to leave the church, don't ever pray a prayer that says you want somebody to suffer, because God does not do it like that. Even when the person suffers, God is suffering with them like a parent. God is God is feeling their pain. Okay? I wish people understood the true nature of God. If you want to start, okay, starting point, imagine what you'd do to your own children. You tell your child, don't go out to the fence, don't get out of the fence and go to your, you know, play with your friends. Then you find them there. So what are you going to do? Refuse to give them supper and breakfast and what? Because they disobeyed you? No, that's not how God is. Now, and that's not how you are even. But you can find, I mean, you tell them, I told you don't go out. Let's, you know, find a way of making, putting it across that they disobeyed you and they shouldn't disobey you. But you still want them to eat. You still want them to sleep well. You still care for them. You still love them. And you don't love them any less. Now, I want you to know that there are so many prayers that are going around in the church which are empowering demonic spirits to go and torment children of God. Now, if I stood and started praying things like that, saying, God, let that person suffer, because of the spiritual authority that I have, I'm telling you, that person will suffer. But on the day of judgment, when I stand before Jesus, he says that you have to give account for every word, every idle word that you speak. What is an idle word? A word that is out of what God wants for, you know, for people. There are certain things which people say that I cannot even say. Now, for instance, there is a speech in Uganda saying "Oyo mufu," meaning that he's fake or something like that. But you know, mufu means he's dead. Now, there is no way I can say that about anybody because of the spiritual authority I have. What if I say mufu and the guy dies? Okay? And now, if I did it and I say mufu and demonic spirits, because of the authority that I have in the spirit, take advantage of my words and go and torment that person and probably cause a death, and I don't even know, but I was speaking carelessly. I don't know what I said. I just spoke it carelessly, and I don't even know the impact of what I said until I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and he told me, you said something, you thought you were joking, you said this, but do you know it caused somebody to die? Do you know it caused somebody to suffer? Do you know it caused misery in somebody's life? Now, so if you are in a church where the pastors and all those people stand up and start praying that let somebody suffer until they come back to the church, I'm telling you, do not add your voice to that. That is not of God. There is no way the Holy Spirit can answer that prayer. But that doesn't mean the prayer is not answered. It is just going to be answered by demonic spirits. And it is going to cause misery in that person's life. And I have seen those things happen. I just gave you one example. There's somebody who suffered because it happened to myself. I mean, I myself, when I was going to start the Watchman Ministries, I was at the church, and I left the church, and the pastor's wife felt I shouldn't leave, so she started praying those prayers. Thankfully, I am somebody who understands spiritual things, and she's of a much less rank in me than me spiritually. So her prayers were just like scratching the surface. But still, I could sense at night, because when I slept at night, I dreamt when we were fighting with her, because she's saying some things, saying I should suffer, and I was saying opposite things. And of course, what I said eventually stood. But then, if she was of a higher spiritual rank than me, it could have caused a lot of havoc in my life. Okay? And even what she said caused minor havoc. You knock yourself, you knock your foot, do what? There are certain things which happen which are not supposed to happen. But because somebody who is speaking out of ignorance, who is a child of God, and every child of God has power, they actually are, those words. Now, I'm telling you this. I have fought against people of witchcraft, but there is nothing they can do to me because they are serving an angel. You understand? Eh? The most powerful witch in the world is just a servant of an angel. Me, I am a servant of the Almighty God. By an angel, I mean a fallen angel who is Lucifer or the old Satan. Now, he's just an angel, and there are millions of angels. You understand? Now, me, I'm serving the Almighty God. So, even what happens from demonic people hardly affects me at all. It doesn't even move me one bit. But when it comes from children of God, even those who don't know what they are doing and who don't understand the power of their words and who are just praying, silly things, it actually affects me more, because it creates such things as a loss of a prayer. Like, that's the first thing. Now, if you want to know that you're under attack, and mostly it comes, let me tell you, mostly all those attacks are empowered by children of God. Because without somebody succumbing to the devil, without somebody somebody who is a child of God, there is very little the devil can do for you. I mean, and can do to you, until he goes and deceives some Christian that no, you cancel them, you do, I mean, you pray this, then the person starts praying stupid prayers about you. And then the devil suddenly has an entry point, because somebody with supernatural authority, who is a believer, has spoken something. So now, and the first thing the devil would attack is your prayer life. If you want to know you're under spiritual attack, you wake up suddenly and all your desire for prayer has died. Then you know you're under spiritual attack. Now, how do you handle that? You handle it by forcing yourself to pray. Now, if you, you pray, let's say, even 30 minutes a day, and you have no problem praying 30 minutes, sometimes even pray an hour, sometimes you get excited and pray an hour and a half every day, and you've been like that. Then suddenly you wake up and you can't even pray for 1 minute or 2 minutes. You start and you're yawning, you're bored, you're so disinterested. Now that is clearly one of the clearest signs that you are under spiritual attack. And usually it is coming from a stupid prayer which is being said by a child of God. And those prayers are stupid. That those people who left the church, let them suffer. I mean, who told you they were they born in your church? How come you did not pray those prayers when they came to the church? Now let me tell you, the clearest sign that a church is going out astray is when there is no freedom of entry and exit. Because people are supposed to come and feed. If a restaurant is serving good food, people are going to come to eat the food, and they will come back and back and back. But now if the restaurant starts serving fake food, then people will not come back. It's just that simple. Now if you're fresh, if you have fresh manna as a church, and you're giving fresh word of God from the throne of God, you don't have to pray that anybody who left comes back. They will not leave in the first place until you get off. But what if their time in that place is up? You see, that's what people don't understand. Just because somebody went into a church doesn't mean that they are supposed to stay there all their lives. It is not like that. That's not how it was meant to be. There are churches. Now let me tell you how the spiritual world operates and people who move with God. They understand that there are different levels for different people. Everything comes at a different level. Now, it's like a class. It's like school. That's why so many of you dream when you're in school and what. So somebody dreams today. Today I dreamt when I was in S1 and we were in S1 and I was with my schoolmates and what. Now, usually, that shows your spiritual level. Some will even dream when they're in primary and what. Usually, that would show you your spiritual level. But you are studying and you're learning about the things of God. Now, there's somebody who came and told me, I'm dreaming all the time that I'm supposed to sit for S for exams, but I'm not ready. I'm supposed to sit for exams, but I'm not ready. Now, that dream means that he's supposed to move from the level he's at and move to a higher level, but he has not yet learned what God wants him to learn at that level. You know, now the things I learn now are different from the things I was learning 5 years ago. Now, 5 years ago, I was learning baby things. Okay, baby things compared to what I'm learning now. Now, when God is teaching me, he's teaching me higher things. And even 5 years from now, they'll be higher. And it does not stop. Even in heaven, the knowledge of God is progressive. So, now when you understand that, you know that. So you dream dreams when you're in primary, let's say you're in P7 and what, that shows your spiritual level. Now, then suddenly you start dreaming, and especially if these dreams are concurrent, you're having them all the time. Now suddenly you start dreaming that you're in secondary. Now you've improved in the spiritual. Then you dream, then now you start dreaming you are in a sitting S4, but you're not ready. Now God is telling you there's something you have to learn. That's what the dream would mean. There's something you have to learn, which you haven't quite learned. Now, when you take such a dream seriously and go and study, Lord, what haven't I learned? And you learn it. Then suddenly you might start dreaming when you're in S5 now. And God is just using the system of the world to teach you something spiritual. Now, a time comes when you start dreaming you're in university and so on and so forth. Now, it doesn't happen to everybody, but I know it happens to so many people. And people have sent me dreams of that kind when they're in school and they want to know what it means. Now, so, but here is the key to it. Some teachers are supposed to be of a certain level, and God called them to teach people of that level. Now, when you are moving from that level, that person will cease to be of relevance to you, not because they have gotten off the will of God, but because you've improved. I'll give you an example. There are preachers whom I used to listen to on TV. and I used to listen to them all the time. But a time comes when I can no longer listen to them. Have they done anything wrong? No. Have they gotten off the will of God? No. It is just that they were ministering to the level I was at the time when I enjoyed them. Now, when I went to a higher level, suddenly they are no longer ministering to me. And even if I listen to them, I don't feel like they are adding value. That doesn't mean they are not adding value to so many other people. Because you moved from P3 to P4 doesn't mean P3 is empty. There are people who have moved from P2 to P3. So that preacher is still relevant to them. But remember, the P3 teacher does not move to P4 with you. He remains in P3. And now there are some people who are called to that for that level. And when the time of reward comes, they will be rewarded if they minister to people of that level faithfully. They are rewarded the same as people now. So the teacher of P3 does not move to P4 with you. You move to P4. For him, he remains teaching P3. Now those in P2 will move to P3. And so now if you feel that somebody is no longer... I mean, even the watchman can come to a time when you feel there is nothing new I'm teaching you. There is nothing new you are learning from me. Perhaps you have graduated from my level. And now, then you move on. Now, if I started here and pray that let everybody who was part of this ministry come back, otherwise let they are going to suffer, then I am praying stupid prayers and I'm out of the will of God. Because what if they have, you know, graduated from my level and gone to another level? That doesn't mean... By level, I don't mean that level of spirituality of me. I just mean the level I'm supposed to minister at. And of course, I'm just giving an example. So, now, God leads people. Now, what I wanted you to learn from the watchman, I think you've already learned it. Now, I'm taking you to somebody else who I also want you to teach. I mean, who I also want to teach you something else. Now, if you're walking with God, you'll be conscious of those things. And you feel it. You just feel suddenly, I used to enjoy the watchman. I'm giving examples of myself because if I give of other people, people will think that I used to enjoy the watchman, I used to wait for his program, but suddenly even when I listen to him, he seems to bore me. Now, that might indicate if you are not getting off course, and if you are really walking with God, that might indicate that God is now leading you somewhere else. Now, I do not have the right to want to keep you here just because I want to see you here. That is true for the watchman, that is true for churches. God might have led you to a church, but your time at that church might be over. And if you stay there, you will stagnate and you will see it in your life. 2 years later, you have not moved forward. 2 years later, you're not. Now, the church which I left, which I had nothing wrong with, and which the pastor's wife was fighting me, if I had not left it, there would never have been the watchman ministries. But do you know what the watchman is doing in this country? Do you know how many people are listening to us outside of this country? Now, I'm telling you, even right now, because this station, sometimes if they are not messed up, they're on internet, there are people even in Russia who send messages, people in Russia, people in Germany, people who are listening to the watchman, okay, off the internet. Now, those who don't, some of them send, and we send for them recordings via email, and they listen to the watchman. Sweden. Somebody told me they wake up to watchman messages because somebody downloads them from the website, from our website, and plays them, and their housemate, the housemate plays the messages every day. Now, actually, it's interesting because the person who told me that is my actual sister, my blood sister. Now, the person she stays with in Sweden listens to the watchman every morning. So she told me, can you believe I wake up to your voice? And I told the woman, do you know that is my brother? Now, but this woman didn't even know. She just got to... Now, the point is this. All that would not have happened if that pastor's wife had managed to keep me in that church. So, now, if she had managed to keep me there, on the day of judgment, God stands and tells her, do you know how you messed up somebody whom I had called to do something big? And let me tell you, the judgment seat of Christ is a terror. Don't think it is. Now, it is... I've told you before, the judgment seat of Christ is for those who are going to heaven. There is nobody at the judgment seat of Christ who is going to hell. However, it's a judgment of reward. However, the Bible says it is a terror when you come before God. Because the minute you close your eyes in death or when the rapture happens, suddenly you see what could have been, everything that you could have done. Then God shows you that, do you know, Joseph, you were supposed to be an international, and you just settled for that radio program at on Spirit FM. You were supposed to be all of this, and then I can see it clearly. He's not just telling me. I see my life. I see every turn I took. I see every decision I made. I see that if I had taken this, if I had made this decision, it would have taken me far. I would have been an international person and done what God called me to do. Then he says, do you know, I actually equipped you to be all these things? But you ended up just settling for a radio program on Spirit FM. Because here is where you went wrong. I told you to do this, you didn't do it, so you went wrong there. Then I start crying. Because now I see that my reward is small. So my crown is small. If I had taken that thing, I would have a big crown and I would sit right there. You know, next to the 12 elders, the 24 elders rather. Right there. Because all that is in accordance to how much of the will of God for your life you did. Now some of you even are still trying to find out what the will of God for your life is. That is your responsibility. So you have to seek God and find out what the will of God is, then you start doing it. The good news is whenever you start doing it, actually from that time you start doing it is the time you judge it. Now that is interesting about God. You remember the parable about the man who owned a vineyard, and he comes at 9 and tells people, why aren't you working? That we have no work. Go into the vineyard. I will pay you. I will pay you 1 denarius. So they go to the field. Then others come at midday. Others come at 3. Others come in the evening. And at the end of the day, they get the same thing. Now, that's Jesus telling you a bit of how that. Now, the thing is, if you have not yet found out what the will of God for your life is, find it out and do it. Whenever you start, that's when your meter starts counting. Okay? And on the day of judgment, God will say, okay, when you found out what it was, you did it. And therefore, because you did it, here you have a big crown, you have this. Now, but know that if you want not to weep too much on the judgment seat of Christ, and, you know, your works to survive the fire, you know that scripture which Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that, you know, they set the foundation, which is Christ, and people build. He said some people build with wood, others with straw, others with precious gold and what. Then he says, on that day, it will all be tested by fire. What does he mean by that? It means that what you did, the motives for which you did it, how much of the will of God you did, all that is tested by fire. You can do the right thing for the wrong reasons, and it is burnt by the fire. You can do the wrong things for the right reasons, and it is done, it is burnt by fire. Or you can do the right things for the wrong, the right things for the right reason, with the right motive, that is, and it stands. And therefore what you build stands, and you get a reward accordingly. Now, when Jesus comes back on the rapture, and we are raptured, we go to heaven, and for the years between the rapture and the end of the age, which is probably about 3.5 years by my theology. Some people will say 7, but that's not the big issue here. So these, in those 3.5 years, we are in heaven on a party. Now that is the marriage supper of the Lamb. That is when Jesus Christ comes and introduces his bride to the Father. Now you just imagine the way it is on earth when there's this rich, very rich man, and he has a son, one son, and then the son brings his bride and says, Father, here is my bride. Now there is a party in heaven because the Father, that is God himself, Jehovah, the great King, is going to throw the mother of all parties when his son, Jesus Christ, brings his bride, who is the church, and introduces us officially to the Father and says, Father, here is my bride. Now then there is a party. Now the party will last years, okay? 3.5 years to be precise. Now, when the party is over, then we are in heaven, and an actual party, you understand, eh? The marriage supper of the Lamb, the Bible describes it in Revelation 20. Now, when that is done, then we come back to earth, where there are still people living on earth. But now we come back, not as human beings, but as reigning with Christ on the earth, in the millennial reign of Christ, in the millennium reign of Christ. There are 1,000 years. The saints of God are reigning with him. How are they doing that? So some people are in charge of countries, other people are in charge of cities, other people are in charge of districts and of gombolas and what. and everybody is allocated an area they are in charge of based on how much of the will of God they did, what they did of the will of God. So if you're one of those people who says those stupid prayers, and you're instead of building people up, you're just destroying people. Why? Because they left my church. I'm destroying them. When you come back, because you'll be saved if you believe in Jesus Christ, when you come back, you will be the least person taking orders from the watchman, because for me, I'm doing the will of God. Okay, you understand what I'm saying. Now, so, I will probably be the person in charge of your country, and you're taking orders from me, because for you who are busy walking in love, and for you are trying to control people's destinies, telling them what they should do, praying for them to suffer because they left your church. I mean, who told you your church is the only one? There are many others. I mean, why they came there, just like they came, they can go. The point is, don't try to control people's destinies. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm very cautious of that. When somebody comes, when I announce something like, you know, the Watchman Conference, which we are going to have in September, I don't depend on, I want to let people know. Now, those who the Holy Spirit leads are those who will come. Now, those who don't come, perhaps we are not brought by the, I mean, the Holy Spirit didn't tell them to come. And who am I to start wanting to control what they do as if I'm the Holy Spirit? I am not. They have the Holy Spirit. It is their choice to do what to do, what to do and what not to do. It's their choice. So, if I had the church, and I don't, and I started the church, let's say if I did, I have no plans of, but if I did and people came, I welcome them. If they left, I don't have any business with them. It is up to them. Okay? But of course, if I felt that, and you know, sometimes they are praying about people who have left from one good church to another good church. Now the point is this: if the person has left and gone into the world, then I might call them and try to do follow-up and try to find out what is wrong, how can we help you build up and what. But if the person tells me clearly, I feel God is leading me out of here, I can never stand in the way of that. By the way, even if I knew you were wrong, God is not telling you that. I will let you go. Okay? Because you're convinced. And the only way you can be unconvinced is if you go and you find out, I think I was wrong. Then you come back. And then when you come back on your own, then it's not control. It is your decision. You see, I want people to understand that God called us to walk in love. And anything that is not in love, the Holy Spirit will never answer a prayer that is not in His nature. If you are praying for somebody who left you, now, one day, a lady came to my office and said, there's this man who left me. I want him to suffer. And that she wants me to pray that the man suffers. I looked at her and I rebuked her. I said, were you born with him? Who says that he's supposed to be stuck? I mean, if he left you, he left you. Now, why do you want him to suffer? That is having a bad heart. By the way, that is just having a bad heart. You have a bad heart. And remember what I was teaching you about guarding your heart? You don't know how to guard your heart. Now, because of your heart, you will even stand in the way of something good that God has. What if God actually is the one who told him to go because he has something better for you? Or whatever. I'm just giving an example. And then you're there hanging on to you. I want him to suffer. Let him suffer. Let him suffer. And you have blocked your own blessings. And let me tell you, he will not. You might want him to, and he might even have an issue here and there because of that. But you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. You're like James and John who were rebuked by Jesus. You don't know what manner of spirit you are of. That's what Jesus told them. So you are destroying somebody's life, and you probably know, but you don't care because you're only interested in yourself. You're not interested in how many people are in your church. You're not interested in this. You're not interested in their lives. The fact that you can actually even pray such a prayer as a pastor. If you're a pastor and you can actually pray such a prayer that let somebody suffer because they left your church, it means you never cared for them at all, even if they were in your church. You never were a father to them. Because if you were a father to them, if my son refused to do what I told him to do, I can never pray that he suffers. I don't want him to suffer. I want him to have a good life. That's what shows that I'm a father. Now, if somebody prays such a prayer, he has never been a father of that person whom he's praying that prayer for. He is just a manipulator. and he does not know the spirit that he's of. Now you tell me, didn't Elijah do it? Yes, Elijah did it, but now you go and get those prayers from, those psalms. There are psalms where David says, I hate these people. The people what? I pray that let them be destroyed, let them be killed. And those prayers are in the psalms. And you say, but it's in the Bible. Yes, it is in the Bible. But it's in the Old Testament. Even Elijah was in the Bible. And James and John got it from the Bible about Elijah. Right? But Jesus rebuked them and told them, that is not the spirit you're of. You're of the spirit of the New Testament. Jesus said, the Son of Man, the New Testament, Jesus did not come that anybody would suffer. He did not come to kill people. He said, I came to save people, not to kill anybody. Even those who reject me, I don't want them to die. I want them to be saved. That is the spirit of Jesus, the spirit that you're supposed to be of. So he goes to a village, they reject him, and he's okay. He just goes to another village. Does he wish them wrong? No, he is Jesus. His love. He wishes everybody good things. There is not a person whom he wishes bad things. You understand? Because he's God. Now, and the Spirit of God is in him. That is the same Spirit who is in you. So you grieve him when you grieve the Spirit of God when you don't understand the Spirit that you're of. When you don't understand that you are called to be of love. Or, now let me read for you the scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I think I've even read it before. Chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart. That is the purpose of which commandment? Of every commandment, of everything. The purpose of it, what God wants you to achieve at the end of everything. Okay? At the end of all walking with him and what? The purpose of it all is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. James, 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5, the purpose of the commandment of everything is love from a pure heart and from a good conscience and from sincere, honest faith. That's it. Now, if you are wishing anybody bad luck, that's not love from a pure heart. Your heart is messed up. You have a bad heart. You have a bad heart. That's why you're praying that somebody may see that. That's why this woman comes and prays that a man who left her may suffer. And she thinks that I can join to such a prayer. I cannot. And that doesn't mean I haven't been hurt by people. I'm hurt by people, but I cannot. I wish them all good. Now, if I want my prayers to be answered by the Holy Spirit, I'll say, God bless that person. The Bible says, bless, do not curse. So when I'm praying for somebody, I'll pray in accordance to what God wants to do. Okay, in accordance to what Jesus Christ died for that person to have. Then immediately I say those words, God bless that person, God prosper them, God lift them up, God show them your direction, God bless their children, bless their family. Immediately I connect with that, because it is in the will of the Spirit of God who dwells in me. The Spirit of God jumps on it and empowers, and these angels of God are empowered by those words to go and cause a blessing in the life of those people. Now, if I said the opposite and say, God, I want that guy to suffer, I want him to kusirana and what, the Holy Spirit is not going to move, neither are the angels of God, because the angels of God do the bidding of God ultimately, but the demons will wake up. That's what the demons are waiting for. Now, I was told about a lady in Nigeria who was unhappy about her children, her own children, three children. And she, because they were not sending her money and they were abroad doing chayo. One was in America, another was in Germany, another was in the UK. But she was angry because she was broke and her children were not sending her money. So one day in her anger, she goes, stands outside and curses one, the first one, the second one, and the third one. She cursed them. And with her words. Now, as a parent, you have authority. Even if you do not have spiritual authority, you have authority as a parent. You have authority over your children. You have authority. Now, when you start saying stupid things about your children, that this child is stupid, is what? You are empowering demons to come and attack them and turn them into what you're saying, because you have authority over them. Now, if you say my child is brilliant, even if he's the last in class, You can turn it all around by just your words. I wish people understood what is in those words. Your words are not there to say what you see. They are there to say what you believe. So if your wallet is empty and you say, I am blessed, those words are going to cause an empowerment of God to go and cause you to be blessed until eventually that wallet is no longer empty. You understand? But for you, you're saying, you want me to say I'm blessed when the wallet is empty. Who told you that you're supposed to say what you see? You're supposed to say what you believe. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When you're not doing anything that is righteous, actually what you're doing is all fake. But because that is the word of God, now you're empowering the Spirit of God in you to come and connect with you and actually cause acts of righteousness to come out of you, to flow out of you, and the ones of sin to stop by just your words, by believing with the Lord. Actually, that is worship. That's what is called worship. You know, the New Testament has two words that in Greek words that are translated as worship. One of them is actually means what you'd call kusinza, that is making somebody higher than you, as in kusinza meaning making somebody ngaya kusinga, okay, like acknowledging that, you know, God is above you and ahead of you. That's the first one. That's what it kind of means. Now, that's the one which got from that word. Now, the second one actually is homologia. That's the Greek word. Now, homo means one. You know that. Homo means same. It means same, actually. So, homosexual means same sex, you know, something like that. So, that's where you get it. So, homo means same. Now, logia is where they get the word logic. But actually, it would mean like thinking, same thinking. So, when you think the same as God, you're worshipping. That is when you have same thinking, same logic, same thinking as God. So, how do you know what God thinks? In the Bible. So, if he says you're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, that's what God thinks about you. Now, if you agree with it and say, I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in the world, that is actually worship. You're now worshipping God because you are agreeing with what he says. Okay? So if you agree with what the Bible says, especially the New Testament says about, I mean the whole Bible really, but a lot of the confessions of the believer, you find them, if you agree with it, if you agree with the righteousness of God, if you agree you're blessed, if you agree you're healed, even if you're, you know, you're, in actual sense you're sick, your body, if you agree, you're worshipping, okay? Because that is agreeing with God. Now, if you do contrary and start saying those things because you don't have love from a pure conscience, I mean rather from a pure heart, and you start praying for people to suffer and things like that, you grieve the Holy Spirit who is in you, because that's not him. Now I'm telling you, I've just destroyed so many people's prayer, because so many people are busy praying that so and so, let this guy who did this, let him do this, let him what. And some of the people they're talking about are children of God. Now there's this guy who stole my money, let him, I want him to suffer. Let me tell you, even if somebody did that, I would not want them to suffer. The point is this, if I could recover the money, I would want to go and recover it. But then again also, I don't lose money, I don't lose, because I suffer no loss in Jesus' name. The Bible says, as a tither, he rebukes the devourer. So the devourer comes through all those things. Okay, now I suffer no. But even if I did, it's not enough for me to actually want somebody to suffer, because I know I have spirit. Now if I started saying let somebody suffer, he will, unless it's only in very extreme circumstances that somebody can be pushed, and even then in the love of God, because even God in his love sometimes, okay, but it has to be done in love. Even let's say even a parent, I'll give you an example. If your child consistently disobeys, you might send him out of your house if he's an adult, and you're just trying to teach him a lesson, but then you're looking out to see if he's okay, but your heart is hurting, and you're seeing, where is he spending the night, where is he sleeping, is he okay? Now you wish he comes back and he learns the lesson and you take him back. You know, you it's like the father of the prodigal son. He asks, I want my thing. So you go, but the father is looking out for him every minute. I wish he comes back, because that's the heart. Now Jesus was actually revealing to us the heart of the father, of God the Father, in that parable of the prodigal son. The guy is always on the lookout. That's why he saw him from afar off. That means the guy has spent all those years looking, every day waking up saying, I wish my son came back home. Now that's how God is, even for the unbelievers, even for people who backslid and what. God is looking out, I wish they came back home. And then one day it happens, and he sees it from afar off. Now, I wish the children of God understood the heart of God, then they would not be doing certain things and praying certain prayers which come from bad hearts. Let me tell you, the cardinal thing in all this, I'm telling you, children of God, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Don't ever let yourself be malicious, be full of bitterness. You are not the first person who has been left by a man. You are not the first person who has been divorced by a man, who has been cheated on. All those things, okay? Now, it's not good for men to do those things, or women, or all those things. You're not the first person. I mean, all the things that make you very bitter and you kill yourself completely from the inside are things which happen every single day to so many people. Now, for you, because you listen to the watchman, I wish you learned how to say, oh man, okay, that really hurt, but God, I pray, bless that man. Now, the minute you actually start praying that prayer, all the bitterness that is inside you will vanish. That's why Jesus said, pray for those who hate you and for those who despitefully use you. Pray for your enemies and those who despitefully use you. Do you know what that means? That means somebody really, you know, treating you badly and just leaving you there. And Jesus says, pray for them. Is he saying pray that they suffer? No, no, no. He says, pray good prayers for them. That's what he's saying. So, now if somebody came and hurt me, and they really, really hurt me, the easiest way for me to get over it is for me to pray for God to bless that person. I say, okay, it hurt, but I'm not going to really dwell on that. I'm going to guard my heart. I am not going to meditate on bitterness. I'm not going to meditate on injustice or on betrayal. Somebody betrayed me. I'm not going to meditate on it. I'm not going to meditate on loss. I'm not going to meditate on negativity. I am going to guard my heart. I want my heart to be pure heart. Love from a pure heart. 1 Timothy 1:5. The purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart and from a good conscience and sincere faith. That's it. Now, if I don't have love from a pure heart, my conscience will not be clear, because I will know that there's somebody inside me that I hate. And if my conscience is not clear, it affects my faith. And if it affects my faith, it affects everything about me. So I will say I'm guarding my heart. So somebody hurt me, God, I pray, bless that person. Bless her, bless him, bless her. Let them be okay. And I will pray that prayer until I actually mean it. Even if at the beginning I'm praying it with my lips and not necessarily my heart, because my heart is still hurting. But I will say it anyway until I actually start saying, God, bless them. Perhaps they did what. Now, eventually, when you pray like that, God vindicates you. God, you've put vengeance in the hands of God. And when God does it, it's better. Okay? First of all, it's righteous, it is holy, and it is better. He did not give you the right to vengeance. He gave it to himself. Now, when you pray that God blesses that person, actually, God can teach that person a lesson in his own way, and it will be better than anything you would have done on your own. But don't pray that God teach him a lesson. No, no, no. Now you're not praying right. Pray that God blesses them. God bless them. Let them see good days. Let them do what. Pray prayers that are in line with the Holy Spirit, that you will empower the Holy Spirit to go and cause a change. Now, when you do that, you remember the message I taught you some time ago about credit, about having credit and how that influences the things that happen to you in the spirit. Now, when you pray for somebody who mistreated you and who did something bad to you, don't think God doesn't know how you feel. You are getting a lot of credit. When you pray, I mean, I told you before that when you look after children who are yours, you get little credit because they are your children. However, if you look after children who are not yours, but let's say your husband went and got them from outside and brought them to you, and you look at them and say, okay, I wish my husband had not done this. However, these are just children, and I'm a Christian, and these are people who are precious in the eyes of God. And since I'm a child of God, I am going to treat them well, like I would treat my children. The minute you do that, you are getting supernatural credit, and God will make sure you are rewarded one way or the other. It can come through your own children excelling in life because you looked after other people's children. It can come through your own self. God, the system that God placed in this, it cannot be cheated. When you have those credits and you do things out of love, when somebody did something out, that's what Jesus says, love your enemies, because he says, if you love your friends, what credit is that? even the taxpayers are the one do it. But if you love your enemies, that is credit. Now, that actually does so many things in the spiritual world which make sure that which create a scenario in which you can move from blessing to blessing to blessing to blessing, because there are so many things happening for you because you've chosen love from a pure heart. I was supposed to talk about end time, but now this I'm not going to, because God the fit. This is so important for the children of God to understand, because if you miss out on love from a pure heart, love for the children of God, love for the brethren, what does love mean? Love means wishing everybody well. Not holding account of evil, not being malicious, not being what, not being envious, not being what. When somebody tells you something good that happened to them, you celebrate with them, and you can move from a miracle to a miracle if you learn how to live in love. Because when you guard your heart, the Bible says, out of it flow all the issues of life. They flow out and they flow in. So every time you give out love, you receive love, okay? Because you actually sowing and you receive and you reap. Now, so the issue is, do not ever, ever, ever pray those prayers of let somebody suffer. I have had people, even somebody came to one day to my and was praying those things, okay? And we had a prayer meeting at my house, and the guy came and was praying those things. I just wanted to throw him out. I'm not ever going to say something that is not that does not impart grace to the hearers or to the people for whom I'm saying it, that is not out of love. Never. If I feel it and I feel it inside me, I will make sure I never say it until I overcome that feeling, because I will not dwell on it. I will dwell on good feelings. So somebody did something wrong, I am beginning to mount up with all this anger about him. Then I say, no, that's not who I am. Me, I am love from a pure heart. So I say, man, God bless that person, do what, you know, and I diffuse it all. I've even gone and given a seed to somebody just to diffuse the anger. You know, there are certain things which you can do practically that will diffuse somebody. Now, there's a time somebody was used to say so many bad things about me, and I decided I'm going to sit down and buy them a cup of coffee, just to diffuse the anger I could have gotten. Now, as soon as I was through with the cup of coffee, all the anger had gone, and it was worth it. Or because there was no anger, there was no bitterness, there was no what, actually we even became friends. And that is solved that way. So my heart is guarded, because my heart is precious, because I guard my heart with all diligence, because out of it flow the issues of life. And the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart. So I want you to understand the spirit that you're of, and never grieve the spirit of God who is in you by going against his children. Now, when he listened to prayers in churches and things like that, and the things which, you know, are coming out of the people, and the people praying, then they say, let's pray for the church. Then people start praying for the church. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for the church. The church is so rotten. It is rotten. It is full of adultery, of fornication, of theft, of uyaye, of ufere. What? The church is very rotten, very rotten. All the church is rotten. Now, and you think you're praying, you are not praying. That is not prayer. Because the church is the bride of Christ. Okay? Now, if somebody came and told you that about your bride, your wife, man, your wife is rotten. Look at her. She has very bad toes. She walks with imbalika. You would beat the person up and say, you shut up. What are you talking about? So don't think Jesus is happy when you start telling him how rotten the church is. He's not, because the church is his bride. That is not praying. Pray that, Lord, we pray for the church. Lift it up. Let the spirit of revelation come. Pray the way the Bible prays. Paul prays for the church. There are so many prayers which are said by Paul here. Some of you don't even read them. Okay? Let me read some of them for you. Spiritual prayers. Prayers from the Bible. Inspired by the Holy Spirit. Therefore I also, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 16. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and of your love for all the saints. Now he's writing to a church, an Ephesian church. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now do you know when you remember somebody before God and say, Lord, bless so and so. I remember when I went to Mbarara and I had nowhere to sleep, he housed me. So bless him, and you remember him before God. You remember his deed before God. That is spiritual. because Paul says, remember the household of you know, whatever those long names, because when we went to what, to Rome, everybody abandoned us, but he carefully sought us out. And now he says, may the Lord remember that on the day of judgment. Now that is Paul, that is inspired by the Holy Spirit in the Bible. That's how you pray for people. You remember people who have done good things. Lord, I remember when I was in a bad, tight situation and I needed money, so and so helped me out. And therefore, I remember him before you. I pray, Lord, that may that act be blessed. And so it says, I do not cease to give thanks to you, making mention of you to God, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you, now this is how he's praying for them, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Jesus Christ. Now that's Paul praying for the church. I pray that the spirit of revelation is there, that let them know who they are in Christ. Let them know what they have in Christ, what their inheritance is. Let them know the power that is in them. Now that is how you pray for it. Don't start saying, Mukame kanise judo wenzi adwa. That is rubbish, absolute rubbish. That is, have you ever seen that in the church? Even when Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, which was so full of immorality that one man is sleeping with his father's concubine. Do you know how he started? He said, he starts by praising the church. I thank God for you because you are wonderful. What the Jesus who started the work in you is going to complete it. And then he says that, and you come short in no spiritual gift. Now that is Paul praying, talking about a church, which later on is telling them there is immorality in you. That now there he's rebuking them as a spiritual leader. But when he's praying, he speaks wonderful things about them, because Jesus is not happy when you speak fake things about his bride any more than you would be happy if somebody came and started telling you your wife is ugly, she has bad feet, she walks badly, she has embarrassing and what. Anyhow, I'm going to leave that and end with these announcements. First and foremost, the night prayers are going on at Wuma Showgrounds in Lugogo, and they are wonderful, so you can join us if you want. The Watchman overnight, Wuma Showgrounds in Lugogo. If you want to download messages, all these messages, we're actually uploading them onto the website, which is watchman.co.ug, and we upload them there, and so you can download them anytime you want and listen to all of them from 2014, from the beginning of this program. All the end time, all those things that I don't want to repeat sometimes, that you people want me to repeat, are there. You can listen to them. Of course, if you want to partner with this ministry, or or before I say that, if you want to communicate to us any other way, maybe some of you sending dreams and what, of course I welcome those, and some of them, if they are not so child, if I don't know, I can sense sometimes that you have the ability to interpret this dream, you're just being childish, then I will not answer it, but most of the time I answer the dreams. So UgandanWatchman@gmail.com, send those dreams there. Now, if you want to partner with this ministry to sow seed into what is doing here, we are going up country, by the way, starting this month. We are starting with Mbarara and Imbale, and we were supposed to start last month, but for some reason we pushed it to this month. So if you want to sow seed towards that, or towards anything, or to tithe and give an offering, first fruit and all those things, these are the numbers you can use for purposes of mobile money and Airtel money. The MTN number is 0780 292 555. It's 0780 292 555. The Airtel number, which is also registered for Airtel money, is 0755 292 555. 0755 292 555. MTN one is 0780 292 555. So those are the numbers you can use. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, next time I'm actually going to talk some serious current affairs of things that are happening in the world around us, the American elections and what that means for us, and what we should be on the lookout for, perhaps even whom we should be supporting, if you will listen to me and you're not already so emotionally entangled in it, and things like that. That's for next week. For now, have yourselves a good evening.
We trust you are learning how the Bible prophecy puzzle comes alive and fits perfectly into contemporary news and events. Make a Dead with the Watchman every Wednesday, 9 to 10 p.m. only on Spirit FM 96.6.